This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody. Praise the name of Jesus and welcome to The Inside Story. Another week before us. I want to pick up on a theme that we've touched on earlier and one that really emerges from what we were considering all last week. You know, your responses have been so encouraging to us. And people have said, you've talked now about marriage at some length, you've got to talk about parents and children. And I'm glad to do that. I want to go back to an episode in my life that happened a number of years ago. I had a couple come in to see me. They were not members of our parish, and in fact this was in another church in another state. But they had some friends who were in that particular parish, and the friends insisted that before they throw in the towel on their marriage, they seek some help from somebody, and they thought maybe I'd be able to share with them a little bit. It was a lovely young couple, and you could tell in just a few minutes of chatting with them that they were very much in love with each other, and yet in the midst of their love, there were so many problems, and they began to talk about their problems. And they went on at great length, and you could see tremendous pain in both of them. They were just killing each other in the midst of their marriage. How often that seems to be true. People are still very much in love, and yet at the same time destroying each other, destroying their marriage. And they began to share their problems, and they had enormous financial difficulties. They had gotten way overextended in terms of living on credit and financing their purchases at a very high interest rate. Deeper than that was a set of tremendously complicated problems with their daughter. They had evidently at first over-disciplined her and then gotten scared of the way she had reacted to that, and so they backed off from over-discipline to the point of having virtually no discipline. And here was this little girl, only 3 years old, an absolute terror. Life with her was no joy at all. In the midst of all of that, their own personal, physical, intimate relationship was just very bad. And you add all that up, and they were in great despair. They saw no hope for their marriage. And after we talked for some time, I said, you know, it's really interesting. You've outlined problems in the three areas that most psychologists would agree are the trouble areas, that marriages break down because of problems with money, problems with our kids, and problems in our sexual relationship. And you've got problems in all three. And they said, we know it. That's why we're here. And I said, well, I have good news for you. Jesus Christ can make a difference in all three of those areas. And the first and the most important thing is to make sure that you have given your lives to Him in a personal way. Well, they had been members of a church, and they had always had a kind of a belief in the background, but it was never a personal living relationship. If you ask them, do you know that you know that you know Him? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you have the assurance of life eternal with God? They would have said, I hope so. I'm working on it. But no, I don't know that. And I said, well, the wonderful news of the gospel is that you can know that. You can know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. And the first thing is to commit your lives to Him and to receive from Him the gift of new life. That's what He came to live and die for. He died that you might have the forgiveness of your sins and the absolute assurance of life with God. And I walked them through that and shared with them some of the verses that I know are so familiar to you, and then just led them in a very simple way to give their lives to Christ. Actually, I met with them one-on-one, first with the wife, and she was willing to commit her life to Jesus, and then with the husband, and he was not so ready to do so because he felt that he had to straighten out all of these problems first. And I said, well, that's an interesting hope and aspiration, but it seems to me that you can go at this either of two ways. You can either try to straighten out the mess in your life by yourself and then ask Jesus to come and be part of it, or you could ask Him right now into the midst of all those problems and then begin to work them out with you. Suddenly a smile came across his face as he saw what I was saying, and he said, I want to do that. And he too invited Jesus to become his Lord and his Savior. And now we had them on a common ground. They had both asked the Lord Jesus to be their Savior, their Lord, their Master. And now I said, let's come together and ask him to be a partner in the midst of your marriage. I said, which of those various problems that you've described to me is the most troublesome to you? And they said, well, the problems with our daughter. This little tiny girl, 3 years old, is dominating everything in our household. We don't know what to do with her. And I said, well, praise God. You know, in a way, that may be the easiest problem to deal with, because it's so obvious that you have never looked into the Scripture to see what God has said about child rearing. And he said a great deal. Some very basic things, some very simple principles that you simply need to understand and work out are going to make a difference. I can promise you that on the authority of God's Word. They were quite skeptical about that, but more than willing to give it a try. And so we began to open up the Scriptures. Do you know that within 1 week's time, they were able to come back and tell me that they were seeing a visible difference in their daughter's behavior patterns? A visible difference in their relationship to her and therefore with each other. That was so encouraging. It was encouraging to me. It was really a miracle to see how God began to reshape that relationship. And then as we built upon that, we addressed ourselves to some of the other areas, and in just exactly the same way, I was able to open up the Scriptures and share some things that God has said about the management of our finances, how we're to use our money. And then finally, when we had established all of that, we were able to talk very personally about the intimate details of their physical relationship. Do you know that God untangled the knots in each one of those three areas? God not only gave back to them the joy of their love affair, the joy of their early love for each other. They rediscovered each other in Christ. He not only did that, he not only made of them a family with that first daughter, he gave to them other children who they began to raise in the knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus. And at the time I left that church and came here to Fairfax, that couple, who was initially on the brink of divorce, was moving together in preparation for the mission field. God had not only brought them back together and strengthened their family, but now they felt they had something to share with others, and they were getting the training to go off and serve him in full-time service. So I have good news for you today. If you have troubles in your family, the Word of God speaks to those. We were considering last week some of the things that the Lord has to say about husbands and wives relating to each other. This week we want to talk about some of the basics, just the basics, of child rearing. What does God have to say about parents and children? He has so much. We can really just scratch the surface, but I trust this is going to be an important week for many, many families. And again, I'd suggest to you that if this is the sort of thing that is helpful to you, you might want to call a friend and invite that person also to tune in for the rest of the week as we consider together the basics of child rearing. You know, I've thought for a very long time that perhaps the most frightening verse in the whole Bible is Exodus 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, where God gives the Ten Commandments, and in the middle of the Ten Commandments, verse 5 of that set of tremendously important rules and regulations and standards, God makes this comment about himself. He's talking about bowing down before graven images and cautioning us against that. And he says, the reason is that I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Don't break my covenant. Don't break my commandments, because not only your life is involved, but the life of your kids and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and possibly even beyond that. Now let me tell you, that is not necessarily a statement of justice, but it sure is a statement of fact. What we do affects our children. We've all seen it. The kids of an alcoholic suffer not because of what they've done, but because what their father or their mother has done. The kids of a criminal suffer, not because of what they've done, but because of what their parents have done. The children of divorce suffer because of the sins of their parents. It is not necessarily a statement of justice, but that's the way it is. It is a statement of fact. But you know, there's a corresponding statement in the very next verse. It says, "But showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments." One of my very dearest friends is the Bishop of Madras, India. The Church of South India, the Bishop of Madras, India. His name is Sundar Clark. And Bishop Clark is a fifth generation Anglican priest. His great-great-grandfather was the very first Indian consecrated to the priesthood, ordained to the priesthood, in the cathedral where Bishop Clark is now the bishop. Five generations of young men have been raised up by God to go into the Anglican priesthood, and Bishop Clark's own son is about to be ordained. It's about to carry over yet a sixth generation. You see what is being said? What parents do affects their kids, both for good and for ill. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of father whose children are blessed because of my relationship with the Lord. And I want to learn what the Scripture has to say about things that I ought to avoid, lest my children suffer because of what I have done. That's my prayer this week. My prayer for myself and my prayer for you who are listening in. And I need just to add that God is bigger than the problems. God is bigger than the problems that we create. But this principle does dominate our whole society. The sins of the parents are going to be visited upon their kids, and yet at the same time, as the parents walk with God, their kids are blessed. May you and I be the kinds of people who walk with God so that our children know His blessing. And may we see Him building strong generations of those who know and love Him to the praise of His name. Lord Jesus, take these teachings and cause us to learn from them not just new information, but new patterns of obedience to the blessing of our children and our children's children, and to the praise of Your name. Amen.